Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurban Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atchilom. We're now in Masachet Bava Kama Daf Peichet Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud, and we're taking a look now at the at Mishnah Gimel, which was at the end of Mishnah Gimel, which was mentioned in the earlier in the Mishnayot a daf ago. Hachovel Beved Kanin Shal Achirim, and the halacha is, Tanakama's position is that you owe all five things to the master. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that Eved Kanani has no din of Boshet. My Tamid Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that there's no Boshet for Avadim? Amakra, ki natsu an Hashem yachdav ish v'achiv. That is the source text of Boshet. Two men are fighting, and the wives of one of them intervenes in a way that's shameful. So the drasha is, that means that there can only be boshet when the two people involved are achim. Now this comment that an eved ein lo achva seems to be either, as Rashi says, because he has no bia b'kahal, he cannot join the kahal Yisrael, he cannot marry in, or perhaps because of issues of yichus, as we'll see further on. V'Rabbanan, how do Rabbanan respond in saying he has boshet? Achivu mitzvot. After all, this fellow is your fellow in mitzvot. He also has mitzvot to fulfill. Elamiata Rabbi Yehuda zomei eved lo yaharogu. If that's the case, then we can't kill the zomim who are conspiring to falsely testify and hurt an eved kani. Why dichtiv asitamo kasher zomal lasot la achiv? And according to Yehuda, he's not achiv. The end of that pasuk says, clear out all of the evil from your midst, mikol makom, meaning that even though may not include zomei eved, says you got to get rid of all of the conspiring witnesses. Elamiata, now we're going to challenge the Rabbanan, eved yei kasher lemalchut. After all, the pasuk about a melech says mikarev achecha, so an eved could be a melech. There's a veiled reference here to Herod. So Amri v'litamech tikshilach ger l'divrei akol. After all, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan agree that a ger is an ach, and yet we all know a ger cannot be a melech. And so therefore, clearly the issue of malchut is problematic for everybody. Alamar kra mikarev achecha. What's the pasuk about malchut? Mikarev achecha. Mimuvchar shibachecha, meaning you have to take the finest of your brethren, and that's what the mikarvachecha, from your brothers. Good. Elamiata, the Rabbanan, yehi eved kasher le'edut. So the Rabbanan who say an eved is an ach, so then eved should be able to be an aid. Dichtiv, hine ein shekra eid, shekra anabi achiv. One of the core texts about edut is as eid zomim. And Eid Zomim, he's called Eid Zomim because he testified falsely against his brother. And if an Eved can be a brother, an Eved can be an Eid. So Amar Ula has one take on why an Eved cannot be possible Eidut. Eidut lomatzid amart, why? Atzi Eidut b'kavachom mi'isha. We have a kavachomer from an Isha. Ma Isha shiru yalva b'kal. After all, a woman can marry into the kahal. Of course, if not, then there's no marriage. Psula le'eidut, nonetheless, she's invalid as a witness. Eved she'enor yalva b'kal. Eved who can't marry in. En odin she'possele eidut. So the answer, the problem is, Mala Isha Shekain Ana Ruya Lamila. She's not a Bat Mila. Maybe that's the critical thing. Maybe Mila is the thing that makes you a kosher aid. So my Evet Shuroi Lamila, but an Evet is. So the answer is Katan Yochiach. Because a Katan, Yeshno Mila, Pasol Eidut. A Katan, a little kid, is in the world of Mila, and nonetheless, he's Pasol Eidut. That doesn't work either. Mala Katan Shein of Mitzvot. A Katan's not Chayiv in any Mitzvot. Tomar Be'Evet Shub Mitzvot. So maybe the rationale here is that any man who is obligated in some mitzvot is a kosher aid and an eved's in. So the answer is isha tochiach sheyeshna mitzvot upsula leedut. A woman is obligated in mitzvot and nonetheless she's psula leedut. V'chazar adin lo rizeki rizev lo rizeki rizev, which means from whatever perspective you look at it, there's another perspective to see it. Hatzara shavashavan. What's the common feature of katan and isha? Shekein einan b'chol ha-mitzvot, they're not obligated in all the mitzvot, upsulin l'ha'id. Emila cannot be the issue. Afani avieta eved, she'eino b'chol ha-mitzvot, he's not obligated in all the mitzvot. As a matter of fact, he's obligated in the same mitzvot that a woman is. Upasul ha'id. But that won't work because Mal Hatzara Shaveshavahen Shekin Eno Ish. After all, a katan and a woman are not an ish. So my be'evet shu ish, whatever it is, then maybe an ish is a kosher eid. We are starting from the premise that we assume that an eved is posel eidu. We're trying to figure out how we get there. Elateti mi gazlan. The answer is we have to use gazlan because a gazlan who may marry in is posel eidu. This eved who may not marry in, and a gazlan is an ish, and a gazlan is a chayiv b'chol mitzvot. So that won't work because mala gazlan shekin masav gamulo. A gazlan, his own behavior did it. It's not because of something inherent in her status. It's because of his behavior. Tomar be'evet shekin masav gamulo. An evet is just an evet. He didn't do anything. He was born non-Jewish, captured in war, sold on the slave market. He's an evet kanani. Ella, so gazlan won't work. But we mix them together. Ella tetemi gazlan and mechad mehanach. So we mix gazlan and either katan or isha into the mix, and it works. Now, Marbrei Ravina Mar, that was all Ula. Marbrei Ravina says, I got another source why Eved's Pasul Edut, Amar Kra, Lo Yimtu Avot Al Banim. Very famous Pasuk that later shows up in Malachim Bet, Perek Yudalad, but in the source text in Devarim, Lo Yimtu Avot Al Banim, that fathers shall not be killed for their sons. Now, the simple read of the text is that children should not be killed for their parents' crimes, etc., etc. The Midrash Halacha, based on the last three words in the Pasuk, Ish Bechato Yumat, tells us that it's referring to testimony, that a child cannot be killed on the testimony of his father and vice versa. But now, Ramar Bar Ravina takes it even further. He says, Loyim tu al pi avot she'en lahem chayes banim. So what's Loyim tu avot al banim? It means somebody cannot be killed by the testimony of someone who doesn't have banim, meaning if he has children, they're not miyuchas to him. And who's that? Avadim. And now he's going to prove his point. If you think it's only there to say that a child can't be killed based on the testimony of his own father, so let it say, avot cannot be killed, al b'nehem. My banim, why does it say banim in the generic sense, in the non-possessive sense? Shmamina duloyim tu'a piavot she'enam chayis banim. It means people who can't have banim because they are legally removed from the notion of parentage, therefore, at least in their present status, they cannot testify. So elameyato banim loyim tu'a avot, now flip it backwards. Children cannot be killed by fathers. Are you going to tell me that means you can't be killed by people who don't have fathers legally? So according to that, a ger can't be an aid because, and we all know a ger can be an aid, a ger could not be an aid because a ger doesn't have halachic, his father is not halachically his father. So Amri, the answer to that was, hachi hashta, let's examine it. Ger nihida in lachayis lamala, lamata ish lachayis. A ger has no yichus in ancestry, but his children are miyuchas to him. And an eved has no yichus either way. Not connected to his father, not connected to his children. Because think about this. If the text wanted to invalidate a ger, it would have said, avot cannot be killed al b'nehem l'chida amrinan. And then lo yimtu be'edut banim. And then, all I would need was to tell me that you cannot be killed by banim that don't have a vote, which would tell me ger. That'll teach us two things. The principal idea, the testimony of within the family doesn't work. And also, it would teach us that you can't be killed by somebody who doesn't have any yichus avot. That's ger. And then ve'eved nafkalei v'kalvachomer miger, and then we would use a kalvachomer to say an eved kanani can't be a kosher eid. Because think about this: uma ger de lamalahu de'en lo chayis of all the mata yish lo chayis. A ger who has no ancestry but has posterity is pasul. Eved she'en lo chayis lamalahu v'lamata nodin she'e pasul eidut. An eved who has no ancestry nor posterity certainly is pasul. But elamidik and chata rachman alim tu avot abanim, from the fact that the Torah went out of its way to use the awkward wording to tell us about avot who have no banim, shmashalim tu alpi avot shein lo chayis banim, shmamina eved shein lo chayis lamal v'lamata hu d'pasul eidut. Why did the Torah allude to the eved? Tell us it's only the eved who has no posterity nor ancestry who is pasul. Ger, kashal edut. But a ger, since he has a relationship to his children, he's kashal edut. If that's the case, then the second half of the pasuk could be written in a different way. Which now is unnecessary. Because it misleads us into thinking that it's invalidating a ger. The answer is parallel phrasing in the pasuk. The first clause and the second clause have to match each other because they're symmetrical. Okay, the next Mishnah that we saw, and now we have to go back to the Mishnah, so take a look either in Mishnayot or we're looking at Mishnah Dalet. Cheresh shoteh b'katan p'gi'atan ra'ah. What's a little misleading here is the part that the editors put in from the Mishnah is not the part that the Gemara is going to discuss. Cheresh shoteh b'katan p'gi'atan ra'ah. So those three are bad news. Why? Achov men chayav, you hurt them, you're chayav. V'heim shechavlu b'acharim p'turin. If they hurt others, they're potter. But this is the part that interests us for our Gemara. Ha'eved v'ha'isha p'kiatan ra'ah. Same thing. Chavan ha'chayav v'hem shechavlu achrim p'turin. But, meshalmin l'achar zman. They do pay after time. How so? Nidgarsha isha ishtachar ha'eved chayvin l'shalem. If the woman becomes divorced, she now has her own funds. She now has to pay for the damage she caused. The eved becomes freed. He's now a free man. He has his own financial situation. And therefore, he is liable. Just to finish off, because the Gemara won't do this, the last clause in the group of Mishnayot that we had, which is Mishnah Hey, reads Hamakavi Vimo Basaman Chavura. This is the flip side of Mishnah Gimel. If you attack your parents and make a chavura, which means you chayav mita, hachovev chavur b'shabbat, or you wound somebody on Shabbat, we chayav mita, patur mikulan. Why? Neshuhu nidon b'nafsho, because you're going to die. And if you hurt your own Eved Kanani, unlike in Mishnah Gimel, Eved Kanani of somebody else, in Mishnah Gimel, then you are patur because you're the one who would be getting all the payment. Okay, back to the Gemara at the very bottom of Peched Amud Aleph, right? Eime de Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. We have a story. Rav Shmuel Bar Abba's mother, Megrone Havet Nesivalei de Rabbi Abba. So she's married to Rav Abba, obviously. Her son's name is Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Katvitinhu lenichse l'Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Barah. She wrote all of her property over while she was alive as a gift to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, her son. Bata de Shchiva, when she died, az Rav Shmuel Bar Abba kamed Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. And the implication seems to be that this was his brother, but unclear. He came to him. Okre benichse, and he confirmed that he gets to keep the stuff. Azo Rabbi Abba Amra Lamilta Kamed Rabbi Yoshaya. So now Rabbi Abba, who was the husband, who was now the widower, who now has had stuff that he thought he should inherit, was now taken and given to his son. And he went to Rabbi Yoshaya. Azo Rabbi Yoshaya Amra Kamed Rabbi Yehuda. God finally got to Rabbi Yehuda. Vemarli Hachamar Shmuel, and he quoted Shmuel saying, Ha'isha Shemachra B'nichse Milog B'chay Bala V'meita. Let's say a woman has a Nichse Milog, which is what this woman had, and she sells them while the husband, who has the rights of Kinyan Perot on them, she sells them while he's alive, and then she predeceases him, Ha'bal Motzimi Yad HaLekuchot. The husband can now take it from the Lekuchot. The implication is that Rabbi Abba can now take it from Reb Shmuel Bar Abba, because the Nichse Milog that she wrote over, once she dies, come back to him. Amru al-Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. So they came back to Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba and said, this is what Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, said. So Amru lohu, he said back, Ana matnita yadana. I don't know about Shmuel, I know a Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Ditnan. Hakotev nechasav livno l'achar moto. If a guy writes his property over to one particular son after his death, meaning, once I die, this goes to you. Haben in echolim korb nei shein b'shut ha'av. In the meantime, the son can't sell them because they belong to the father. Va'av in echolim korb nei shein k'tuvin l'ven. And the father can't sell them because he's written them over to the son. However, machar ha'av, if the father does sell them, mechurim ad shiyamut, the sale is valid till he dies, then it kicks back to the son. Machar ha'ben, if the son sells them, el kech ad shiyamut ha'av, the lokeach has no rights to them until the father dies. Now, that's the limitation. But what's the implication? When the father dies, the lokeach does have them. And our assumption is, even if the son predeceases the father, that the son never got them, nonetheless, the son sold them to another guy. The son then dies. The father then dies. Nonetheless, the son dies. Nonetheless, the father can't take it away from this guy. And this guy gets to keep it once the father dies. At which point it was written over to the son, who's no longer around, and that goes to Lokeach. Now this follows Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Damar lo shtam et ben mechaya av lo ato liyade de ben lo shtam et av mechaya ben lo ato liyade de ben. Kana Lokeach. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, interpreting that Mishnah, says it does not matter who dies first, whether the son dies first, which means it never got to the son. The son sold it to a guy. Then the son died. Then the father wants to take it from the guy. It doesn't matter. And when the father dies, it becomes his. Or if the father died first and the son got it, and then it automatically transferred to the fellow he sold it to, kana lokeach deitmar. And here's the source. Machar ben mechayeh ha'av u'meita ben mechayeh ha'av. If the son predeceased the father, Yochanan amar lo kana lokeach. Lokeach doesn't get it. And we'll see why. Rish Lakish amar kana lokeach. He disagrees. Says he does get it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kana lokeach. Why? Amar lecha ki ktani matnitin machar ben lo kana lokeach ad shemuta av ma'ita av ilei lokeach. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that if the son sells it, the lokeach doesn't get it till father dies. The implication is v'chimaita av ilei lokeach to lo meita ben mechaya av da'atu l'dea ben. It has to be a case that the son did not die while the father was alive, so that it had to have come to the son. But if the son died while the father was alive and it never got to the son, there was never a moment that it was in his possession, even after the father dies, the lokeach doesn't have it. It goes back into the Yerusha pot. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say that? Alma kasavar, here we go. Kinyan peirot ka kinyan aguftami. When you have kinyan peirot, meaning you have rights to the produce of something, it's like you have ownership over it, which means that the father who had the kinyan peirot over this had a kinyan haguf. Since the son predeceased him, it never transferred to the son, and therefore the son's sale to the lokeach was never valid. Chizovin lavdi dezovin, and therefore when the son sold it, it wasn't his to sell, because it belongs to the father. Rish Lakish shomer kana lokeach. Rish Lakish says it doesn't matter who dies first, the lokeach gets it. Why? Kitanam andir machar ben en lokeach ad shiyamuta av. In the Mishnah, in Bava Batra, the Mishnah that says that if the son sells it, the lokeach doesn't have it till the father dies, kimaita miat idla lokeach, and the inference is clear that when the father dies, the lokeach does have it. Lo shna lo meita ben machaya av da atle deda ben. It doesn't matter if the son didn't predecease the father, and it got to the son's property. Or if the son did die in the father's life and it never went to the son's hands, kana lokeach. Why is that? Alma kasavar, because Rish Lakish holds, and we know he does from the eighth parak of Bava Batra, the core discussion of this, kinyan perot lav kinyan aguftami, which means when you have rights to produce, that does not give you any claim of ownership over the core. And therefore, father is not considered here an owner at all. The son is considered an owner. The father wrote the property over to the son. It's the son's. In the meantime, the father eats the payroll. That does not make the father an owner. Therefore, when the son sold it, the son sold something that's really his. And it was just with a time delay. And the time delay was when father dies. And it doesn't matter if son's alive or not. Now, the anan hashta, bein Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, bein Rabbi Yehuda, in this dispute between Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba and Rav Yehuda about whether or not Rav Shmuel bar Abba was able to keep this property, Rav Shimon ben Lakish sphere alahu. We hold Rav Shimon ben Lakish. From Yirmiyah bar Abba, what did he say? He saw Kedai the Kinyan Perot Kinyan Aguf Tam. He said, I'll prove to you like Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Because if you really hold the Kinyan Perot as Kinyan Aguf, Ki Mayet Av, U Mayet Haben, B'chayeh Av, if the son predeceased him, Amay Ilai Lokeach. And by the way, at any point when the son sold it, it should be invalid because it wasn't his to sell. If you hold kinyan peirot kinyan aguf, the father is the owner. It must be from the Mishnah, because even if the son outlives the father, nonetheless, the son sold it when it wasn't his, according to the notion of kinyan peirot kinyan aguf. Okay, so what happened? Adru al kamei Rav Yehuda. They brought this answer back to Rav Yehuda. Amarlahu, and his answer back was, Hachi Amar Shmuel, zu eina doma l'mishnatenu. That ruling is not like our Mishnah. Now, why Tama? Let's see. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef tried to say, what is this, eina doma l'mishnatenu? Bishtamai tani ipcha kotev nechasav le'aviv, if the Mishnah Bava Batra had it flipped, where a son was writing his property over to his father, and then the predeceasing is backwards. So he killed the me another kinyan perot like a kinyan a guftami. Then you could infer from it already about kinyan perot. No, but now that it was written in the order that the father wrote over to his son, maybe the reason that the son has extra rights here, maybe kinyan perot is normally a kinyan aguf, but because this son is a yoresh, he's an heir, and therefore he's standing to inherit this entire piece, or a piece of it, therefore maybe that's why the father's not considered an owner and the sale is valid. So Amalei Abaye, Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and says, Atu bra yarit abba, the son only inherits from the father, abba yarit bra, the first Mishnah in the eighth parak, is that the son and the father certainly can inherit from his son if the son predeceases. So Elalai means that they're equal. It doesn't matter what order you have it. Elavruchinu nichsei mimbreika ati. Why did the father write this over to his son? In order to keep other sons from having it. Otherwise, if he only has one son or he wants to give it to them equally, he wouldn't write it over. He wrote it over to one son because he wants to keep the other sons away. The same thing. Why did the son write it over to his father, if that was the case? To keep his other brothers away from it. So the father would have it. And then if the son predeceased, then it would go back into the general Yerusha pot. If the father wrote it to the son to keep it away from the son's brothers. That's why he wanted to keep it from them. So Elamai, this is a parallel case. So Rav Yosef, your argument, your explanation of Shmuel's statement, Eino Domen L'Mishpatenu, doesn't mean that. Elamai Eino Domen L'Mishpatenu, what does it mean? Shu Takanat Usha, because of the famous Takana made in Usha, Te'am Rav Yosef Rechanina, but Usha Hitkinu, they made a rule, and this is in Ketubot, Ha'isha Shemachra B'Nichse Melog B'Chaye Ba'ala Umeita, if a woman sells the Nichse Melog that she has, while the husband's alive, and then she predeceases him, which means he inherits her ketubah, habaal motzi miyad halakuchot. The husband can now go and take from the lekuchot what she sold to them. And as a result of that, that's what Shmuel says, Eino Domen L'Mishpatenu, meaning the Mishnah and Bava Batra, it reflects a different approach than Takanat Usha, and I'm holding on Takanat Usha. Okay, I'm reading Bar Avinaf Anan Amitanin. He tries to bring support for Takanat Usha. If Edim say Meidim Anu Beish Ploni Shigereshet Ishto V'Natan Ketubatam, we're testifying that Ploni divorced his wife and he already paid her the Ketubah, which, by the way, if that were true, then she's out of Ketubah. He's already gotten paid. If it turns out they're lying, they've cheated her out of the entire Ketubah. V'Rei Tachtav Meshamashto. In the meantime, we see she's married to him and she's still living with him. V'Nim Tzu Zomin, and then we bring proper Edim that these guys are Edim Zomin. Eino Mimishalmu Kol Ketubata. We don't say they have to pay the entire Ketubah. Elo Tovat Hana'ah Ketubata. What do they have to pay? The Tovat Hana'ah Ketubah. What's Tovat Hana'ah? Tovat Hana'ah generally is a small payment. Rashi even says, Devar Mu'at. A small payment. And a small payment where you have either an item that you have to give away, but you could choose which person to give it to. A classic example is Truma. The fact that you could choose which coin to give it to, that's called Tovat Hana'ah. Or when there is something that you have that has very little worth, such as a ketubah. Why does a ketubah have very little worth? Because it's spec. Because after all, if you sell a ketubah to somebody, it could be, if a woman sells a ketubah to somebody, it could be that she'll predecease her husband, and therefore he inherits the entire ketubah, and the fellow lost it. Could also be, as we'll see later, that she could be mochel the ketubah. So, omdin kam adam rotzel liten miktubah shel zushin t'armalon garsha v'meitei reshana ba'ala. So we see, and this is a sugya at the beginning of Makot, we estimate how much a person would be willing to pay for such a ketubah based on how old she is, how old he is, etc., etc., based on the futures here and the possibility that the ketubah will eventually come to her, in which case this buyer will get it, or the ketubah will go back to him, in which case he'll lose it. But if you really think that Takanat Usha is not the halacha, Amayir Hashana Ba'ala, why do we think that the husband will inherit it? Tazbing Ketubata Legami, she could sell in her entire Ketubah and make money off of it and keep it. And if you think Takanat Usha is not the halacha, she could sell her entire Ketubah and keep it, which means these Edim were going to rob her of her entire Ketubah. They shouldn't pay a spec amount, they should pay the full amount. Abaye says, just because they said the rule about Nichse Melog, that doesn't mean they're going to say it about Son Barzel. Remember, Nichse Melog is property she brings in that if it appreciates, that's going to be to her credit. later on, but if it depreciates, she loses it. Son Barzel is on the husband's account. That's something we dealt with in the sixth parak of Ketubot. And therefore, Abaye says that it's possible that we don't accept Takana Dusha, meaning this Mishnah doesn't prove, this rule about Idim Zomim doesn't prove anything about Takana Dusha. Because here we're talking about Nichsei Tzon Barzel, the Ketubah itself. And therefore, with Nichsei Tzon Barzel, certainly she doesn't have the right to sell it, and certainly the husband will be able to get it back, and therefore the only amount that these Edim are conspiring to have her lose is the speck that somebody would be willing to pay on her Ketubah, given the possibilities of them actually being able to collect on it, which would depend on the husband divorcing her or predeceasing her. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We're going to pick up in the next podcast with right in the middle of this discussion, with Abaye's observations about the whole issue of Tovat Hana'ah, which will then come back eventually to our Mishnah. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.